We Talk Podcast presents...
What it is! What it do? Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host Joshua Adam William Overthine with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, it's going good. We are 5 weeks out from going to Toronto to see Survivor Series, and we have a lot of exciting reasons this week to get even more excited for that, so news of that coming up. But we go to the UFC, and its biggest star will be returning.
Yeah, Ronda's back.
She will be going head-to-head with the champion, Amanda Nunes, at UFC 207, December 30th, what they like to call the New Year's show. Joel, was this the right fight after all the losses Holly Holm had taken?
Yeah, it's very hard. Like, that whole situation with that women's division got very mucky, very quick. It was kind of... It wasn't a picture-perfect storyline, let's put it that way. And things kind of... Real life intervened, and you weren't able to fantasy book all the way through and have everything as you wanted. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I think this is likely the right direction, because it's very hard to have her... Because here's the... You run a risk. If you have Ronda fight someone that could be a quote-unquote tin can to get her back up to being number one contender, you run the risk of Ronda losing again. So I figure it's probably a good gamble to just have her challenge for the title and see what happens. I think she may have maybe 2-3 fights left in her anyways, so might as well go all in and cash in. And this is a good way to cash in. I mean, that New Year's Eve show will always generate some buzz, so
For sure.
And now with Ronda, it's generate even more buzz, so that's good for UFC, and hopefully that it pays off for them.
So my next question is, what happens to Ronda if she loses? How does it affect her as a fighter? And then how does it affect her box office-wise next year for the 3 movies that she has?
I don't know. Another loss, and especially to someone that's not another... It's not like she's losing to another Ronda Rousey. This will help elevate that girl, like, through the stratosphere. But... Ronda, this puts her in a very... If she loses again, this really, really hurts her. I think she's still a draw, but I think she's lost a little bit of her draw power. And if she loses again, mm-hmm. she loses... Every time she loses a little bit of that drawing power. So I think this is a must-win situation for Ronda. So it'll be very interesting to see how the fight plays out and how everything kind of goes from there.
Yeah, my thought is the same. I think she has power in the public. The question is, like, a lot of people look at her, as far as the movie idea goes now, as possibly the female Rock. And we'll have to see if she can have that power as being the female Rock.
Yeah. Only time will tell. You can't just say something and it'll happen. The Rock does not sit there and just magically decide to snap his fingers and decide, oh, I want to do this. He worked extremely hard to get to the point where he is. I think Ronda could totally get to that point. But the one thing you got to remember is I think they're from two very different universes where The Rock, while he lost, was still very much a protected character that was very much kind of held in high regards.
Exactly.
Ronda loses it a little bit. I don't know where that stands, but she's a pioneer, and I got to give all the credit in the world to her. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how it all plays out, but I think that Ronda's definitely at a point where this is a must-win situation for her.
So, if Ronda wins, she wins the championship, is the next fight... I don't think you want to do another Misha Tate fight. She's beat her 3 times. If Misha Tate had the title, then I think we can agree that would have been something that dictated the Misha Tate-Ronda fight.
Oh, yeah.
But she's not the champion, so we don't need Misha Tate and Ronda anymore. Holly Holm, we'll have to see. But is the fight after this Cyborg?
I think you got to almost kind of push that way, because that's the fight that most people want to see. And if you only got Ronda for 2-3 more fights, got to cash in every step of the way. And don't get me wrong, if Ronda loses and then her next fight is Cyborg, that's still going to draw. That'll probably be Ronda's last fight, but that's still going to draw money.
Personally, if I was picking the way it goes, I do think Ronda can beat Amanda Nunes. But, I mean, she's been out of the octagon for over a year now. I would say this, though. If she beats Amanda Nunes, the next fight I would do would be around that WrestleMania March Madness time. And I would do the Holly Holm rematch. Depends, though. Like, if Holly Holm loses again, then what is the stakes in her other than Ronda just getting her win back, right? Like, that's why you were saying, like, this women's division has been so topsy-turvy. Holly Holm won, and we're like, okay, that's the fight. So let's do Misha Tate and Holly Holm. And then Misha Tate beats her. It's like, okay, I guess we're doing that. And then Misha Tate loses. It's been ever-winding since Ronda came back in. So I guess, in a way, we're looking for Ronda to come back and put some stability back into the division.
Yeah. And I definitely think, I definitely agree with you. Like, there is definitely that looking for that that stability, that kind of, okay, you know where things are going, but right now they've been kind of all over the place, and it's not good. Like, it's good in a way because it gives it some unpredictability, but it definitely could use a little bit of a calming and kind of have a little bit more solid direction. When Ronda was dominating, people were really excited because it was like, how long is this going to go for? Could she go undefeated?
She was the female Mike Tyson.
Yeah, and now it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out when she comes back.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to that. I think, I mean, it's going to be really interesting in the coming weeks now because we're about 4 weeks away from UFC 205. We haven't talked too much about that, Joel, but it's just a loaded card, and we'll talk more about it when it gets close, and we'll bring Mo in for that, because Mo has a little bit more MMA knowledge than the two of us, and we'll bring him in for that, but that card's going to be loaded. UFC has had a very nice year this year.
Oh, yes. Oh, there's been a lot of interesting storylines, the Conor shenanigans, everything that's played out this year, and the rumor of the GSP versus Anderson Silva during Christmas time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that
you could maybe put that on that 205 show as well. Maybe do you think that could be something they do? Is put GSP and Silva on that 205 with Ronda?
No, 207. You mean 205's in
207? Yeah. Do you think that can go into because if you're saying Christmas time, that's right at that Christmas time show.
Yeah, it could be. It definitely could be. Like Anderson Silva's son posted something on Instagram, so it was kind of it's interesting to see if it happens, if it doesn't happen. I don't quite know, but I think that if you get Silva and GSP, that's going to bring in a lot of buys, and that could bring in a lot of eyeballs moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about dream matches. It's unfortunate because in some ways, the GSP and Silva fight is a lot like the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. It's like we always wanted it, but it came at the wrong time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It definitely was not. It was not perfect timing for. The Pacquiao Mayweather thing just didn't click as much as like the hype was there, but it didn't click fight
wise.
Oh, the hype
was really there. So my next question is, if Conor wins this fight at 205, are they setting GSP up because Silva's kind of seen better days? He knocks out Silva, and then is the next fight for Conor GSP?
If it is, that would be quite.
That's the biggest dream match that they have right now, right?
Yeah. How. Conor would be the ultimate heel in that.
Well, I mean, especially in Canada.
Oh, yeah. Well, it would just be like Bret and Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could find an Irish if Finn Balor was a heel.
There we go.
If Finn was the heel against Sammy, let's say.
Yeah, then, yeah. But I think that could be very interesting. I don't know how GSP would fare. He is one of the greatest of all time. I just don't know what would happen in that octagon, because you step away from it for as many years as he has, I don't know how he fares. The last time he fought, I wasn't even at Sate.
Yes, you were.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I was. Yes, it was just the start of Sate. I got my days mixed up. Yes.
I think it was 2000. It was like 2000.
It'd be 2012.
12, yeah. It was like about 2-3 months before the CM Punk leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was
They made it to Fire the Thunder.
Oh, now I'm trying to remember because it was 2005.
It was versus Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah.
So let me just Google this really quick here. So we have GSP versus Johnny Hendricks. And I thought Johnny Hendricks won that fight, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of people did. GSP did not.
It was UFC 167.
Wow.
And they could... His fight could be UFC 207.
Jeez.
It was November 17th, 2013.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. It was a while.
Chael Sonnen fought in that card, who we haven't talked about it, but is now going to Bellator.
Oh, Bellator. Because
of course he is. Oh. Last UFC thing, because we hadn't had a chance to fully talk about it, the pay-per-view draw came back from CM Punk, and it was way much more than they thought. He was apparently back in the gym the next day. I don't want to get too much into it, but we got to think he's going to get at least one more UFC fight.
Oh, yeah. They saw the dollar signs, and were like, well, he wants to do it. Let's cash in.
Mm-hmm.
So that Royal Rumble surprise will have to wait another year.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. I guess we'll move from one woman to the next, and it's quite an interesting little realm.
Now we get into lawsuits and drug stuff, and it's fun.
Yeah, and it's Paige is back in the news, where everything kind of seemed positive. Like, I thought, oh, well, maybe things are kind of calming down, and she's kind of making...
She had the first drug failure.
Yeah, and we...
She had that first drug failure, and...
She owned up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she failed again, and she was suspended 60 days, and...
She failed again this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she basically told the company to fuck itself, basically.
Pretty much. I actually have the tweets right in front of me, more or less saying, like, she's not surprised, and that it wouldn't happen to... someone else in the position, you know, kind of playing that card, which is, you know, never a great card you want to play. So just to fully quote it, she said, same shit, different day. Kids, please don't get prescriptions or doctor's notes. They're not acceptable. Rules apply depending on your status. So her family kind of followed suit in this and said it was for a prescription because she's going through that neck surgery right now. And they sent out a whole bunch of tweets. And then I believe it was a TMZ reached to the WWE office. And what did they say, Joel?
They basically said it wasn't that she failed for prescription drugs. It was an illegal substance. And we...
Which rumor is...
Good old white powdery stuff. Cocaine. Which is not a good drug to take.
Lovely.
I mean... In the 80s, it helped fuel some of our favorite promos from Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man Randy Savage, and just pretty much the career of Ric Flair through the 80s. Nowadays, it's not a good thing to take, so I'm kind of like, you probably... There's going to be a lot of mud thrown in this situation. What do you make of all of this? You've been asking me a lot of questions, so we're going to flip the roles a bit. What do you think of this whole shenanigan?
It's a lot of reminiscent, first of all, of AJ and Punk with Del Rio. And he's been kind of a shady character with that whole stabbing thing and kind of being mysterious about it. There's people raising a lot of questions about that. So the Alberto Del Rio stuff doesn't help very much. But as far as Paige goes, she's a young girl, and we know that she's young and likes the party, and you can't be doing that stuff in the new WWE. I think it's cool to go for a beer once in a while, but she seems like she's young, and she just wants to go like to another level as far as partying. And that's showing that it's not working well, and I mean, she's out for 7 months, so that puts her probably, 7 months? So we have November, December, January, February, March, April. So maybe the night after WrestleMania she can come back?
Yeah, but even then you don't know what type of reaction she'll get. However,
and if she doesn't get suspended again.
Yeah,
and
like if she gets suspended
WWE
again, she's
fired. WWE is refusing to pay for her neck surgery, which is another big thing that got started today.
Really?
She expected the company to pay for her neck surgery, and they refused, and now that's a big thing. The thing is, the elephant in the room of all of this, Joel, is the Total Divas contract. It's not even her wrestling contract. It's how well the Total Divas team pays.
Yeah, and I bet you it pays pretty well. My question to you is, why wouldn't they pay for the neck surgery?
That's what I don't know. And I brought up a question is, did they, let's say for Finn, do they pay for Finn's shoulder surgery, or did Finn have to pay for that? Because if not, that brings up more of the questions that Ryback, as much as we laugh at some of the stuff, he does bring up good points about stuff with the hotels and stuff, if these guys and girls are paying for their own surgeries.
Yeah, like, I don't think so. I don't think Balor, like that... That never got brought up. Like, you can be guaranteed Cena doesn't have to pay.
You never heard it brought up before. Like, with Edge and Chris Benoit's surgery and Finn's recent surgery, Randy Orton's surgery, you've never heard this ever been brought up until now.
Yeah, and the other thing, like, I sit there and I, like, you'd think that certain guys would have to get surgery and it would hurt them financially, and we'd hear about it. And
well, like Hideo Itami, for example, like, I'm sure he wasn't super loaded for a surgery, and you get a surgery down in America with, I'm not exactly sure how surgeries work down there if you're not an American, for example.
Yeah.
Just because their healthcare system is different than us in Canada.
They're going to have to rename their, like, their trainer facility, the Hideo Itami trainer facility, because he spends a lot of time in there. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
We'll get to more Hideo.
But... I sit there and I look at the whole page. Like, that's really weird that the company wouldn't pay. Who's saying that they won't pay? Is it her?
Yes.
It's really weird. There's a lot more, I think, behind the scenes going on that we are not privy to, and I don't think we'll ever be privy to it.
And so the other thing too is. So all the on this next season of Total Divas, the big thing is that we're going to have Rusev and The Miz and Ambrose, right?
Yeah.
But they all signed non-disclosures so they can go on the show. The question will be is, they're still taping some stuff. All of a sudden, much like with, even if you're not a fan, Total Divas is interesting because you want to see stuff with Brian about his retirement, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Total Bellas comes interesting because you get to see what's going on with Paige.
Yeah.
That becomes the biggest selling point of the show, and the other question is, will Del Rio be on that season? And there's been ups and down rumors that Del Rio didn't sign, and that Del Rio did sign. So I don't really know what the deal is yet.
I don't know. That's going to be really interesting, because if he signed, then we're going to get a lot of stuff, and... I wonder how that affects the show and editing and how everything's going to play out. And it's going to get very murky very quick.
She is doing the neck surgery next Wednesday. So hopefully, you know, everything goes good and she can get it fixed. She's with you look at the talent that this company has as far as the women division and the progress they're making. And she's a big temple of the women's revolution.
Yeah. And she may be scrubbed from history a little bit if everything continues to kind of fall apart with this their working relationship, because it's definitely feeling like this working relationship's starting to crack. And WWE.
You think she'll be back?
Yeah, I think eventually everything will calm itself down, but as of right now, it's not looking great, Bob.
No, it's really not. You want to talk about other things that aren't great?
Oh, I know where you're going, and everyone else should know where you're going.
Why can't we talk about this company in a positive way?
Because it's that three letters are so connected to negativity, and it's so connected to drama and pettiness and stupidity, and oh, he signed a contract, and then he reneged. They agreed verbally, and they reneged on us, and poor, poor us, and oh, look at us, we can't fund our shows. Oh,
I'm going to read this full report of what happened today. So, Joel, you can just sit back and relax, because we're going to actually do a little bit of investigative reporting here. I'm going to read the report of... So, the main story we're going to talk about here, I'm going to read the report that was filed by Mike Johnson from Pro Wrestling Insider. But the main story here is that TNA President Billy Corgan has filed a lawsuit against TNA, Dixie Carter, and more. So, Joel, sit back as we go to this fairy tale about total non-stop action. Are you ready?
Can't stop, please.
After months of speculation as to what was going to happen with the company, its ownership, and its finances, TNA President Billy Corgan filed a lawsuit against TNA Impact Wrestling, its parent company Impact Ventures LLC, TNA Chairman Dixie Carter, TNA Chief Financial Officer Dean Bronehead, and Carter's husband, Serge Salinas, on October 12th in Chancery Court of Nashville, Tennessee. Pro Wrestling Insider is currently working on acquiring details of the lawsuit. Requests from comments from Corgan's attorney of TNA Public Relations were not returned in this writing. In a press release, so we don't have too many ideas of why the lawsuit is going right now. Have you seen anything more of why the overall lawsuit is going on? Here we go.
It really sucks.
In the end, Bound for Glory and the October team indeed took place, but questions what that were left included who funded the tapings and what deal did Dixie make in order of the tapings to take place. In a locker room meeting with TNA talents on October 4th in Orlando, Carter told her roster that the pay-per-view was never in danger of taking place, but did admit the company had to do some scrambling in order for everything to fall in place. What that scrambling was never has been explained or revealed publicly. During PW Insider's reporting of the locker room meeting, we noted Corgan declined to be in the meeting despite being invited to do so. A number of TNA personalities over the course of the Bound for Glory weekend and October tapings that were there, there was obvious tension between Corgan and Carter and wondered how it may be resolved, especially if Corgan is supposed to be overseeing the day-to-day business of the company. What the resolution will, and so then the other story that came out before we really get into all of this is that Billy Corgan also gets a temporary restraining order against TNA and Dixie Carter.
Oh, God, this sounds like a mess. This hurts my head, Josh.
By the way, I'm going to say in all of this, I am on Team Billy Corgan.
Yeah.
Billy Corgan filed a lawsuit against TNA Wrestling, their parent company Impact Vultures, blah, 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 blah. A temporary restraining order has been approved with Corgan filing a bond earlier today to support it. Expect a hearing to happen next Friday for a temporary injunction. He has requested a 6-person jury to decide the outcome of the case. As of right now, the filing to the lawsuit has not been set. So, this is what I think happened, and this is what it sounds like happened. And then I'll let you chime in, Joel. So, what it sounds like happened is that week, Billy Corgan was very public about everything. And he had said, the pay-per-view was in danger. We don't know about the tapings. Billy Corgan was an honest man about everything, even including, I respect Vince McMahon, WWE, they scare me as a juggernaut. Maybe they will buy the tape library. I can't rule that out. I'm trying to do my best to be the company. He did everything in his power to try to get TNA and was super honest about it. Dixie has been lying through her teeth consistently, especially when certain rumors by certain publications came out and she said people are lying through their teeth. And every chance she gets, she consistently says, oh, TNA is not there. Even if you see the bug squash in the middle of the road, she's like, that bug's not squash. What are you talking about? It's walking around perfectly fine.
No.
So I think that she may have undercut Billy Corgan from buying the company and did him dirty somehow, and I think that's why this lawsuit and the restraining order have taken place.
Yeah.
Joel?
Oh, this whole thing is a horrible mess. Horrible, 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 horrible mess. How is this company still alive? How? Like, this makes zero sense to me. Like, I sit there and I look at this and I go, why? Why? Like, I don't get it. I sit there and this whole thing, I get Corgan's side of things. I get what's going on. I get the reasoning behind it. But this thing is like there's a thorn in my side, Josh. And I think, oh, it's gone now. It'll be no more worries. Everything will be calm and happy. And that thorn comes back. The thorn keeps coming back. And apparently it's the same thing for Corgan, because he's clearly got a thorn in his side, and its name's Dixie Carter. This is what they need to do.
You know what probably happened, Joel? You know what happened? This is what I think happened. That report was true.
Yeah.
The original one. The WWE bought the library, and that they were going to let Billy Corgan... I think the WWE, John Gabor, Kevin Dunn, and Vince McMahon all made an agreement. Billy Corgan will buy the company. Billy said, that's fine. Billy's like, yeah, cool. And then like, but Billy, you got to give us the tape library. Billy's like, you can have a tape library and you can have the licenses, but I want the company, I want the rosters, and I want to rename it. And they're like, that's fine, you can do that. And if we do this new network, we'll work together.
Yeah.
Dixie found out about that and went crazy.
Yeah, because she tends to do that a lot.
Because so, I don't think Dixie will ever sell to the WWE. She just won't do it. Despite wanting to be WWE. Which Billy Corgan, I think, would give us a refreshing different project. Yeah. She's tried to do the Grand Champion. I don't love the idea, but it's something different.
Yeah, Aaron Rex has already dropped the title, but that's besides the point. Like, they've already kind of...
Who'd he drop it to?
I don't even remember, but I know he dropped the strap, and I was like, okay.
I'll figure it out. Keep on talking.
I sit there and I look at this whole situation, and it's a selfish person trying to hold on to something that is clearly just needs to let go and move on to the next phase of your life. Dixie,
you know what, Joel? You know what, Dixie Carter? You're on the list!
There we go. She's on the list. I think Corgan had worked something out with Vince. I think there was some sort of gentleman's agreement about everything. Because I don't think Vince sees anything they do as a threat. And a non-compete, well, likely. I think there's also the very realistic world where he's like, oh, compete. Do whatever you want. I'm not going to be too concerned about it because you'll be under my umbrella soon enough with that rumor for the network. So My guess is they were like, yeah, no, you guys can produce content for us and draw in a different audience. Do it. Go for it. Run with it. And Dixie. And this is to me, when I actually sit there and think about Corgan's action, I think this is a man that it seems like he got all his buttons got pushed, and this isn't a knee-jerk reaction, but this is a reaction of a man that's been kind of pushed around a bit, and is like, no more, you don't get to keep playing these games. So I think that in the long
run... See, it's one thing for Dixie Carter to mess around with people, some wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
You mess around and you screw around some wrestlers, that's one thing, but Billy Corgan has been in entertainment and is part of one of the more successful bands of all time. He's been around the entertainment industry. He knows it better than you do, Dixie. He knows almost a good equivalent of parallels, of loopholes, and knows the right people.
Yeah. If he doesn't know that, he knows the people that does know that and knows how to use them effectively.
So I guess we'll keep you updated on the story.
But
he dropped it to Jesse Gutierrez, by the way. Also, I guess we have to talk about Donald Trump.
Wait, what?
Because he was mixed within TNA.
How?
So, I'm not going to go verbatim because we're not going to talk politics here. We have made a statement that we're not going to talk about politics here. But Mr. Trump's video that came out with Billy Bush that said some unflattering things about women, and he had the comment talking about locker room talk. That it was just locker room talk. Well, he had fired Maria Kanellis from The Apprentice for having a vulgar ton in his boardroom, and TNA has ran with that video.
Oh my, no comment.
Which, if we can find a clip of it, we'll take it at the end of the podcast.
Oh god, I don't. Oh, this hurts. This hurts. Why? Well. Can we move on to something that doesn't quite hurt my soul?
Let's talk about the one thing we forgot to put on the list, but the rundown. let's go with, because and Dixie's the first on our list.
You're on the list.
She made the Fresh Takes Sick Boy One Fall list.
There we go.
The network came out with this survey that was really interesting, Joel.
We didn't hit on this?
Wow. No, we didn't. This came on Saturday. We forgot to put it on the rundown. It just seems so long ago. It's been such a busy last 2 days. We've had lawsuits. We've had suspensions. We've had superstars come back. We forgot about this, which would have probably been our lead any other time.
Wow, yeah. Okay, yeah, let's go through this. I completely forgot that we didn't talk about it.
Really, the most interesting thing in this, just to save time because we have a lot to get to, is pretty much all the same options are there. There's one option that you just get to pay for, and I think that was for $5, so that's a great deal. There's one that lets you have limited viewing in the library and stuff. Really cool. And then there's the typical one that you have right now for $9.99. But the interesting one, Joel, was at $14.99.
Yes, it was.
And
it gave
what
you
was
some
the most
power.
Interesting part about that? Yeah.
The power of the people.
So, on that, there was, you know, really cool things like fan voting and early access to tickets, and that's all cool. But the most interesting was independent wrestling shows, including TNA, which is whatever, and Ring of Honor.
Yeah, this created quite the interesting conversation between you and me, because, oh boy, that could be either really bad or really good for pro wrestling and pro wrestling fans. On the one hand, you have ROH now on the WWE Network, where you can stream and live stream, and maybe even watch some old matches, like, I don't know, this 5-star match between Samoa Joe and this Chick Magnet Punk. I don't know, he may have done something in the world of pro wrestling.
Nigel McGuinness finally made the network!
Yeah.
Fans are going to get really confused when they see Tyler Black and Claudio Castagnoli and not call them by Cesaro and Seth Rollins.
We'll just get the special thing that they'll reveal to us is ROH is redubbed by Michael Cole and JBL.
No! I love this guy, Margle.
Oh, don't hurt. That hurts. I think that, well, it could be positive. There's also that fear that they could tame things down and make things WWE friendly and WWE good. Part of me thinks this is possible, and they could also, I think Mo pointed this out to us, they could kind of start to dictate who the company wants to push and who they don't want to push and stuff like Ring of Honor, Progress, Evolve.
That's what I'm worried about.
And that could be a bad thing. Very bad. But on the one side, if you let them exist and let them do their own thing and you just are merely the provider to put...
You're the ESPN.
Yeah. You just put out that content and you promote it. I think it could really help pro wrestling. Now, it's going to be mostly for the marks. The casual fans aren't going to care at all.
But I think it'd be cool, though, like, if you had some friends, and, for example, if you have the net, like, if you get it, and you're like, sure, I'll get it, and you have it, for example, and you're like, hey, go check out Ladder War. And then you're like, oh, I've heard of these Young Bucks. I mean, oh, I really want to see more of the Young Bucks. I'm like, hey, if you like the Young Bucks, maybe you'll like these guys. Oh, you like these guys? Well, check out Bobby Fish. Check out Adam Cole. Check out, hey, you want to see something kind of kooky and crazy? Check out Dalton Castle.
Yeah.
And hey, like, oh yeah, I really like Nakamura. Oh, that's cool. Well, the Rainmaker shows up once in a while in Ring of Honor.
I wonder how that would hurt that deal. Do you think that would...
Japan, that's the one that the guys from the law brought up, is how does the Japan deal play into everything?
Because this... I really wonder if they wanted New Japan to be the first one for this network umbrella. Bring it down.
Well, that was the rumor last summer, right?
Yeah, and then they screwed the pooch on that one.
And then they destroyed and took four of their biggest competitors.
And they could take more of their talent, but we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I'm kind of like, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because It could either be really good or really bad. There's another side to this that we didn't talk about that I think is worth pointing out. Hall of Fame voting. How do you feel about that?
Sounds interesting. I mean, there's the biggest elephant in the room in there, which is Benoit. But I think it'll be more of a ballot. I don't think they'll have a write-in, because if you had a write-in, Joel, things like Hombre would be voted in, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, don't. No, no. Just have a ballot, and we all know what place the WWE Hall of Fame has. We're more concerned about Cauliflower Alley and the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. But it could be fun, you know.
I think it'd be cool if you, I mean, not to go to a story we have later, but Bret Hart had the, I guess we'll kind of talk about it now to lead into this because it's the bigger part, but Bret Hart had a big apology today to the Fabulous Freebirds and the Triple H and Seth Rollins. And it, he said, like, well, I don't want to come off bitter, but I do want these elected people to be in the Hall of Fame, and teams like Demolition and the British Bulldogs and the Rougeau Brothers and Rick Rude all need to be in the Hall of Fame, so it'll be nice to see maybe fans push, for example, the Rougeau Brothers, who I've been pushing for the one time, or the Mountie just by himself, just Jacques Rougeau being there, because Jacques Rougeau did beat Hulk Hogan at a house show for the WWE title, but it never counted. He's the Mountie, goddammit. One of the best songs. The Rougeaus and the Mountie have two of the best theme songs of all time.
Yeah.
Have you heard the Rougeau Brothers theme song?
No, I have not, actually.
Well, you should make that the intro for the pod this week.
That is All-American decided, so it's something I'll give a listen to, but the theme
song. Yeah, check it out. I'll check it out after. In the future, how about this? When they make the Hall of Fame, that's the theme that we get to use that episode.
Consider it done.
Because it's a great theme song. But I think I kind of changed my mind on it. As long as it's not a writing, because if it's a writing, then yeah, you're going to get stupid things like Hombre or Chris Benoit, which are nonsense. But, you know, being able to be part of it, like, hey, I helped get Dynamite Kid in. I helped get the British Bulldog in. I helped get the Rougeaus or Demolition in. That'd be a really cool feeling. Or Rick Rude, who still makes no sense why Rick Rude's not in it. I guess you don't want to have so many unfortunate deaths every single year, right?
Yeah, that's one thing I think they've tried to avoid, is pointing out how many deaths there have been.
And that's why it's tough with Bulldog. You can't do Bulldog and Rick Rude in the same year.
Because they'll be like, yeah, both of them are gone. Sorry, guys.
I would maybe think Rick Rude would go in this year, though.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I definitely think he deserves it.
The fan voting.
Yeah, it's there. It could definitely be really cool, but it could also become a PR nightmare for the company.
Yeah, like I totally agree with you on that point, Joel.
Yeah, I think all in all, let's see what happens. It's still a rumor. It's still something that's been talked about, but nothing's ever been fully happening with it. So once it happens, and once the wheels are really in motion, then we'll know, and then it'll really be time to deep dive. But right now, I think it's a cool idea, but there's no guarantees that it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best part so far of what you can get, is if they get the indie and the fan voting. Those are two really cool things.
Yeah, and I think it'll be good for smarky fans that, like you or myself, that want to watch more wrestling and watch more, be a little more engaged in the content. So eventually, I think.
Well, even something like Evolve, had that really big thing a while ago with EC3 and McIntyre, and it was really hard to go and view that, for example. And to know, like, I think Evolve would definitely be part of this deal, because they kind of have that backdoor deal with them.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, I can go watch this EC3 and Drew McIntyre thing on the network. It's the ESPN of wrestling apps.
Yeah, and that's what you want. That's the future. Is not only to have kind of a stake some claim on some of these guys that eventually they'll come up to the Fed, because it's going to happen regardless whether you're part of WWE or not. But if you're getting WWE exposure and ROH is getting some of that WWE money for their production, doesn't hurt anyone at all.
And what I would do too is I've always, you know, we're always talking about new content for the network. I would personally have kind of like a SportsCenter segment weekly, and you can kind of go the highlights of the wrestling week. Kind of like, you know, what we do with the podcast, but we get a SportsCenter presentation and be like, so the highlight of the week, was maybe some weeks you'd like, it wasn't SmackDown this week. Let's go to Ring of Honor, where Bobby Fish and Dalton Castle had this awesome match or something like that, you know, and kind of go with the highlights, and then rumor is this, and rumor is that, and kind of present it like a SportsCenter type of show, and you have all the big wrestling things in there. And like, let's say when a Bound for Glory ended, for example, you can be like, Bound for Glory ended tonight, we're going to go live with Charlie Caruso to talk to Cody, who just won the TNA Championship. You know, you can do really cool stuff like that if you've got a deal like this in place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it kind of gives you some wiggle room where if you're sitting there and kind of going, man, we don't have a lot for Sami Zayn. Well, maybe you can go do some ROH stuff for us for a little bit. You can kind of.
Yeah, there's El Generico. El Generico's back.
What would you do if John Cena showed up on a Final Battle pay-per-view?
I don't think Ring of Honor is the one for him. I think the one for him is TNA. That's the bigger deal.
That's the bigger deal?
Yeah. Seeing John Cena in TNA is just crazy. Even though Ring of Honor, I think, is drawn bigger.
Yeah.
I think, well, are you comparing the Ring of Honor thing kind of like to him going to ECW in a way?
Yeah.
I mean, that's very fair.
It would be interesting. Like, any crossing of the streams would be very interesting to see.
100%.
I feel pretty good about the potential. Like, it's gonna be interesting to see how it all plays out. But we're dealing in some facts now where that matter very dearly to you and me, because we're going to be seeing the show live. NXT TakeOver Toronto. We got to see the NXT tapings, or not see, but read about them and kind of get an idea of what's going on. There's a small little spoiler label
here. These are not spoilers. They are on their Twitter. They are on the website. These are not spoilers.
So if you're
on their YouTube page now. Both things are on their YouTube page and are on the performers' Twitter pages. You cannot miss this. This is not a spoiler. I don't want to hear people crying about it.
But there will be. But let's kind of run down some of the.
There's always one person.
Yeah. Let's run down some of the matches. So No Way Jose and Rich Swann beat. Drew Gulak and Tony Nese advanced to the next round. Bobby Roode beat Sean Maluta, and Roode got on the mic afterwards and made a match between himself and Ty Dillinger official for NXT Toronto. So that's one of the first matches we've got for NXT TakeOver Toronto that's been confirmed for us as we go
to Ontario, boys.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I think I'm excited. I kind of said that I thought this is the direction they're going, so. I obviously think Roode will get the win, but it'll be a big spot for Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, I mean, he gets to be home, right? He gets to wrestle at home, so that's really cool. And I believe, no matter what the thing was, this is the first major show that Bobby Roode will ever wrestle in at home. He's obviously wrestled in Toronto before and came back and done stuff, but TNA never went to Toronto for a major show. So this will be the first time Bobby Roode's been able to have a major show in his home. And he did an interview this past week and said, like, the past year or so in TNA, he had lost his love for wrestling. And he was ready to move on with his life and gave NXT a shot. And it's re-injected his love for pro wrestling. And you can really see that.
Oh, yeah. And the crowd's really receptive to him. So he's done a really good job. But back to running down the card. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce attacked Liv Morgan backstage. And it spilled out to the entrance area. So we got some brawling there. Austin Aries and the brand new debuting Roddy Against the World, Roderick Strong, debuted. And they beat Heavy Machinery, Otis Bolajkovic, and Tucker Knight in the first round. Generation Next, it's a reunion. What do you think of Roderick Strong in NXT?
It's pretty awesome. I mean, just another great Ring of Honor former champion with the WWE. They like their former Ring of Honor champions in that company. If you're a former Ring of Honor champion, it's almost a foregone conclusion that you're going to end up in the WWE.
It seems to be that way.
Now we await you, Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
Jay Lethal's next, Adam Cole, waiting for both of you guys. Adam Cole may take some time because of his rollover of his contract.
Jay Lethal. We don't know. You know that when's Jay Lethal's contract up?
I think it's around at the end of this year, but I've heard a rumor that he might go to New Japan Pro Wrestling full time. So
not terrible for him. I mean, is Jay Lethal even a WWE guy to you?
I think he could easily fit in, and his dream opponent is Chris Jericho. So there's only one way to wrestle Chris Jericho.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there's only one way to wrestle Chris Jericho.
So I think
he got to make the list.
Yeah, got to make the list. Daniel Kamala beat Nikki Cross, who is part of Sanity, by disqualification.
Yep.
Apparently Nikki beat her down too much, and the bell rang, and the referee overturned her decision. So they're really building up Sanity, which will be an interesting group moving forward. It could be the next version of the Wyatts, and see how they're booked going forward. Shinsuke Nakamura came out to cut a promo about his match with Joe at Toronto, but Patrick Clark came out and interrupted him. The champ levels him, and Joe comes out for a stare down. So that I can imagine that's the end of the first episode, where you close out with Joe and Shinsuke staring each other down, which should be a fun match.
Yeah.
All right. So Project DIY. Oh, god damn it. Bad. DIY, Gargano, Ciampa, who recently moved in together, which would be very interesting to see. Took on Ho-Ho Lun and Tai Bing. I believe I'm saying that right, I hope. DIY won, so they advanced to the next round of the Dusty Road Classic.
Sweet. The question is, how far do they go?
We will find out. Aaliyah took on Billie Kay, and Aaliyah picks up a win with a distraction after Liv Morgan ran out to avenge the earlier attack. So basically, Liv Morgan, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, and Aaliyah all had a brawl. So there was a big brawl, and at the end it was Kay and Royce standing tall. And then we get to something that's a little bit special, a little bit sad at the same time. Kota Ibushi and his replacement partner, TJ Perkins, take on Lince Dorado and Mustafa Ali. Josh, why is TJ Perkins tagging with Kota Ibushi?
Well, Kota got hurt again.
Not Kota.
I mean, Kenta. Kenta got hurt again. Hideo Itami got hurt again.
And how's it looking?
Not great, Bob.
Yeah. The neck, it's his neck, so we're kind of sitting there like, please, please, please be okay, and it'll only take a couple weeks to heal. We want to see the GTS in person.
Well, he did say in a statement that he will be at NXT Osaka. I don't know when that is. But he also kind of hinted that maybe he will make an appearance at this takeover.
I'm hoping.
So he may make an appearance. It doesn't mean that he's going to wrestle, but he did try to say that he would make an appearance of some sort.
I hope so. I kind of want to see him. It's cool to check these names off the list. But on the flip side, Kota Ibushi, TJ Perkins dabbing their way to a win in the first round of the Dusty
Rhodes. I need to see this Kota Ibushi dab.
Well, if you check Instagram, you may see the picture.
Interesting.
Next match, Asuka took on Thea Trinidad. And as I spoiled it for all of you, Asuka wins. No surprise. That was formerly TNA's Rosetta. So, Asuka picks up another win.
Perfect.
But there's something more, because William Regal pops up and says, Asuka, you're going to have a match. And you're going to defend your NXT Women's title in NXT TakeOver Toronto. And who will she face?
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine, you blame my name, Mickey.
Mickey Gall?
I know, not that Mickey Gall.
Mickey James returns to the WWE to challenge Asuka for the NXT Women's Championship at TakeOver Toronto. What do you think of this? Mickey James back in the company.
I'm pretty happy about it, I gotta say.
I Mickey's a great talent, and I think this could be a really good match. But on the flip side, you have to outsource this number one contendership to someone not within your division. What does that say about the depth and the progression of these women?
It tells me that, well, I don't even know if it has the, like, I agree with you. I mean, we've talked about the talent there. I think there's a lot of great upcoming talent there, but I think that's what you're looking at right now. It's an upcoming talent. Mandy Rose has progressed way faster than they thought she would, and there's a lot more promise in her because she's Eva Marie, but she may actually be decent in the ring. Ember Moon is done fine. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce have a little stable together. Aaliyah's coming along nicely, and Liv Morgan's coming along nicely. But I think that's the problem, right, Joel? They're still on the developmental sides, and they're coming along nicely. But then you have this superstar like Asuka. And for Asuka, you need someone that's capable of her talents. Not saying that those girls aren't in her league, but they're kind of not in her league.
Yeah, no, and I totally
And agree. It's nice to make a special feel like this with a Mickie James, who this is kind of a dream match in a way.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm excited. I think it'll be fun. And we get to see it live, so we will be quite happy to see that.
No complaints on our part.
So Ty Dillinger takes on Noah Podges. I don't know his name. I give up.
Why are you reading the stuff when you always mispronounce the names?
I was the one that had it open, so that's why it happened.
We'll
learn from
you're getting the names that matter. That's all that matters.
Rude beat down Ty, so they're obviously getting heat on Rude. And Ty, who is garnered a lot of babyface sympathy in NXT, is just going to garner more, and I expect a big pop for him.
A lot of tens. We should get a sign that says 10 on it.
Yes, we should.
Yeah.
So Ember Moon defeated Rachel Evers, who is actually Rachel Elring, but can't call her Elring because...
She wants to be different. She wants to be different from Papa.
Which is nothing wrong with that.
And admirable.
Yeah. And now we get to the next set for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Project DIY, Gargano, Ciampa take on the Revival. This match had everything you wanted. Actually, it didn't have anything because Scott Dawson comes out on crutches claiming that the doctors ordered that they cannot wrestle, and they're forced to exit the tournament and forfeit. So Project DIY move forward, and the Revival limp away. What do you think?
I think even though it wasn't announced on these tapings, we're getting DIY versus the Revival at NXT Toronto.
Yep, which will be a really good match.
For the tag titles, and I think they're going to win it. I wouldn't be shocked if the Revival is going up after these tapings.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they're part of that Survivor Series match.
It would make sense. It'd be a good spot to debut them.
Where do you put them?
What tag team division hurts the most right now?
Raw.
So they're going Raw.
Yeah, because I think you need to keep them away from American Alpha for a while. So really quickly, just running this down. SmackDown. So, Usos have done really good. Beauty and the Man Beast are looking good. American Alpha, you know, not in a great position. Not as good as I wanted them to be, but they're fine. And then what? And then it's Ascension and the Hype Bros?
Yeah.
And we don't know what Breezango's is. In fact, Tyler Breeze has lost Fandango, and he's trying to find him. We don't know where he went. The Vaughn Villains, I think we can officially, well, long ago, but we can officially on the pod now, that's not going anywhere.
No, that has
been. Which sucks, because I really like Aiden English.
I do too.
I think he's a talent that maybe they can hopefully repackage. Nothing against Simon Gotch, but I think Aiden English is definitely a talent that could be used in the correct way.
Oh, yeah.
And then for Raw, you have the Club. Cesaro and Sheamus, the New Day, but then it gets kind of silly, right? You have Shooting Stars. I guess you got Cassidy, so we don't know if Sammy and Neville are our tag team just yet. So both sides are decent, but I think the Revival against the New Day is something I wouldn't mind seeing.
Yeah, that could be actually a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Unless they, or even the Revival versus Sheamus and Cesaro would be tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
Just that old school ground and pound, just like beating the crap out of each other type of thing. And I think Sheamus, that's someone that he would really work for because, again, it's no flips or anything like that. It just fists, and that's kind of what Sheamus is about too.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely a lot of potential for them fitting better on Raw, and I think they'll be a good tag team that can excel anywhere. But getting back to NXT, the Authors of Pain came out and beat DIY down afterwards the match, but Gargano and Ciampa got the better of them and sent them packing. So kind of planting some seeds for them as well. And now we move
forward. Spoiler, Joel and I aren't fans of the Authors of Pain.
I think they could be the best technical wrestlers of all time, Josh.
I do like the idea of pairing them with Samoa Joe as a heel unit, though.
Oh, yes, 100%. But now we get to a re-debut that's so close to Josh's heart that I think that when Josh sees him live, he's going to march out.
Shut your mouth.
Elias Samson, the Drifter, is back. Ugh. And he beat former Progress champion Nathan Cruz. So good to see a Progress guy in NXT. It seems to be they're starting to gather some more talent. But Elias Samson, the Drifter, is back.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we got crickets there for a few seconds. Your excitement just is so, you can't say any words, right, Josh? Right?
Yeah, it's great. It's so awesome.
Let's move on before Josh walks away from the podcast completely. Liv Morgan took on Peyton Royce.
That's like, my reaction to that is Joel's reaction when I talk about Total Divas.
It's just no selling.
It's pretty much the exact reaction.
Liv Morgan beat Peyton Royce by disqualification because Billie Kay ran in. Aaliyah got involved and needed a beatdown for her troubles, but Ember Moon came out and ran Royce and Kay off. So Ember Moon kind of being the hero to save the day.
Yes.
Woo! We have Andre Cien Almas taking on Cedric Alexander, which was probably a really good match, but Cien got the win over Alexander. I think this is really starting to build him up as a heel, which is definitely something he needed. Hopefully they can really start using him because he's a great hand to have, and I hope to see more from him. And Cedric's going to be fine. He's on Raw, so nothing's going to hurt him.
Yeah, I think it all works out well. Like you said, Cedric, I think they got bigger plans for him. I think he'll probably... Well, isn't Drew Gulak supposed to be the next guy to face TJP?
No, Tony Nese.
Tony Nese, who just took it out this week. So I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they ended up doing Cedric next for TJP even.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kendrick may even win. I don't know. By the way, like that, the promo on Raw they had was just terrible.
Moving forward, we got a contract signing between Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe. Joe brought out his own table and set it at the top of the round to better conduct his business. Both men signed contracts from their respective stations, but then Shinsuke loses his mind and attacks his security guard and powerbombs him through a table. Over under, we get a tables match at NXT TakeOver Toronto.
I say TLC.
I'm going to go tables for now, but TLC would be a lot of fun.
I could also go that we're overreacting and it's going to be just a straight-up match.
It probably is. And the final match to close out this taping, Sanity versus taking on Kota Ibushi and TJ Perkins. I was rooting to see Kota live. I was just like, I want to see you live. I want to see you wrestle. And Sanity, which was the team of Alexander Wolfe and Sawyer Fulton, beat Kota and TJ.
Yeah, I don't think Eric Young's going to be doing much of the wrestling. He just kind of seems like the ringleader.
Yeah.
So, really, I think the main talking point in this is that Roddy Strong is in NXT, and that Mickie James, I think she may be taking that veteran role that we've been seeing that some guys, and now a gal, comes in and does once in a while. So I think Mickie James will kind of be in the tapings for a bit and do some stuff there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It sounds
and like, she probably becomes a trainer. I don't see her going to the main roster. I see her more as a trainer, but working in NXT. And the question is, with Mickie James going there, does that mean that Magnus can be coming to NXT?
It's totally possible. But, Josh, couldn't Mickie be part of the SmackDown Women's Division? You know, the same brand John Cena's on? No? No? Okay.
With Candone there?
Yeah. Flashback to the past.
Be fun for everybody. It wouldn't be awkward at all. I'm sure Nikki would be super fun with that. While we're at it, why doesn't Maria Kanellis just join the roster as well?
Just make everything a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It sounds like we're going to get a good show for NXT TakeOver Toronto. It doesn't sound like they're full. I feel like there's going to be... We're going to get a few more announcements, and the card's going to fill out a little bit more.
So what we're perceiving so far from it is we're going to get Joe Nakamura, Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger, Mickie James and Asuka. We're assuming a women's tag team match with Liv Morgan and Ember Moon against the Australians. I would assume a dark match then for Aaliyah, since she is a Toronto native.
Yeah.
And maybe that's against Mandy Rose, possibly. And then we don't really know where DIY went in the Dusty. Where do we know what the brackets are now for the Dusty tournament?
No, but I think we kind of have an idea that it's basically going to be the Authors of Pain versus Sanity.
Right. So we're assuming it'll be the Revival versus DIY for the tag titles.
Yeah.
We're assuming that. Can't confirm it, we're just assuming that. And I don't know anywhere else where any of the other matches in there go. I mean, the tapings still have another week left on there.
Yeah, so they could... there's still some stuff that can get filled out for us.
But, I mean, it looks like a solid show, whether you're there live or... You're going to be watching on TV. It sounds like one of the better NXT cards of the year.
Yep.
And those NXT cards never disappoint.
No, I think this will be a lot of fun for us. Moving forward, we're going to be talking about this weekend so much, but it seems like we can more or less confirm that at Survivor Series, Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg 2. What are your thoughts? Because there's a lot of negativity and there's some positivity out there. How do you feel about all this?
Well, I mean, obviously being the event live, I'm going to be biased, so I think maybe my view would have been different if we would have just been watching this as a network special. But since we're going there live, I'm super excited because I get to see Bill Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. Taking myself out of that, which I think both of us have to do for a subject like this. Look, Survivor Series, I guess we can kind of get into the whole Survivor Series. Those three Survivor Series elimination matches, those are going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to have a lot of guys and girls in those matches, and you need a big main event. You need something to super draw, and I think this is the perfect thing to draw. I didn't like the way they went about it in the Goldberg ESPN interview. One second he's like, I don't know him a rematch, but I'm going to give him one. It's too bad, like, in the hindsight of booking, that Brock didn't beat him all that time ago because it would have made more sense for a rematch. I think Heyman did a good job of chickening Brock into a fight. I mean, Heyman's so good at that, right? I'm fine with it. I think it's a big match, and if Brock Lesnar... if Bill Goldberg was going to fight anybody, I think the first opponent has to be Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and...
That fight had a lot of hype to it, and it had a lot of flatness on it, but it could be a good beat-em-up fight.
Yeah. And that's the way it's not going to be technically savvy. I don't know how it's going to look in ring. Like, it could really suck, or it could be all right. I think it's going to be quite the spectacle, and I expect some blood, I expect some chairs, I expect to beat them out, drag them out, brawl. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for. And you know what? We'll get to see Goldberg live, and that's really cool. So... I know it might be rough for some people to watch, but at the same time, you get to see Goldberg live. This was a guy that is a huge draw from the Attitude Era, from WCW, and he's clashing with the Beast Incarnate, who's kind of felt a little flat at times. This will be the first real big boot. Brock's had a hit and miss this year, and I think Randy was a hit, especially with how it ended and just kind of the stir it created. And I think this could add another hit to it, where it could be something that we talk about for a while. It could also be something we talk about for all the wrong reasons. So there's multiple possibilities here.
Yeah, and I really, like, Brock, like you said, he's kind of swayed off a little bit, and I just don't know who Brock's next opponent would be short of a Randy Orton rematch, which they're not doing. We know what they're doing at WrestleMania. Let's not fight it. It's just going to happen. Just take it. Sit down. It's going to happen. It's going to be Shane McMahon versus Brock Lesnar. So let's enjoy this match right now while we have it before the Shane McMahon spot fest at WrestleMania.
What is he going to jump off of, Josh?
Well, I don't know.
Does Shane McMahon walk away from this match, or will he be carried off?
Oh, 100% carried off.
He's not going to be alive.
He's getting an F5 through something dangerous.
And we're all going to sit there and cringe.
I don't think he'll do anything too crazy. Like, I think he'll just jump off the turnbuckle to the table spot.
Well,
but there's nothing crazy he can jump off of, right?
Yeah. Well, the one thing that our friends at We Talk Wrestling had pointed out, that they thought that it seems like Shane's kind of mailing it in these days, so I wonder if we do get that.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that about him on Talking Smack. Like, it really seemed like he was out of it. Like, Shane had such a big presence up until the brand split, right?
Yeah.
And he had so much energy, and he seemed so enthused, and he kind of seems, like, disjointed from the project now. But also, John Pollock and Law brought this up, because it was kind of like, he was kind of like this on that, the podcast he did with Mick Foley, right? Like, we were all super excited because Shane brings up this energy in the ring in his entrance, and he's very monotone and very calm, and maybe that's just the kind of guy he is when he's not inside the ring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This could be the personality that he is.
Yeah. And it's a nice segue into the week that was for Raw and SmackDown.
Well, by the way, really quickly there, so what do you think of the Survivor Series matches?
Well, this kind of ties in. I think you much like the three Hell in a Cell matches, which we will get to, I think it's a little overdone, but I get why they're doing it, because you need to get everyone on this card. It's a payday for everyone. It kind of makes sense because you can have the 5-on-5. It's going to be like in the past where we don't talk about Survivor Series matches. There's never a point where we're like, we have to go back and watch this. I think the only Survivor Series match that really fits in was the one where Sting debuted, and Ziggler was the sole survivor because Cena got eliminated. These matches are just throwaways. Raw versus SmackDown. If you told me Raw versus SmackDown was for the 30th lottery spot in the Royal Rumble, then it matters. But until you tell me that, I'm going to be like, eh, it'll be fun to see these guys. There'll be a bit of a spot fest, and it'll be fun seeing live, but other than that...
I've always been a fan of the traditional Survivor Series matches. The question is, like, what stakes do you put on there? One stake that was brought up by Wei Ting from the Law, which would be that you put up positions on the show, and what I mean by that is, so you have SmackDown's, and this is just being the men's match. You have SmackDown's best five and Raw's best five, and let's say Sami Zayn is on Team Raw, but Sami Zayn gets pinned, he gets to go to Team SmackDown. He's now property of SmackDown. You get pinned, you transfer shows.
That could get a little murky.
But I think, you know, you could do it correctly, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's a nice, easy way of transferring some talent over. The thing is, though, you and I are both, I think, one of the males that's going to be in that main one is 98% sure it's going to be Roman.
Yeah.
Because they want to keep him away from the title picture for a little bit and build him back up. And I just can't imagine Roman getting pinned. That's the only problem with it.
Yeah.
So, like, ultimately, one team is going to lose everybody, and that means all those guys would have to go over. I like the idea, but I just don't want SmackDown to lose all these great guys just to go to Raw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you.
But if you do the pins, right, I guess, I don't know, like, maybe you have, like, I don't know. I don't know how you work it. I like the idea, but it's murky water, like you were saying.
Yeah. Now, I think we both, like, this, at this point in time, we're kind of like, it's there. Raw and SmackDown both were okay shows. They both had...
The biggest were the announcement for the pay-per-views on Raw.
Yeah.
And Jericho and KO continues to be the best thing overall on the product.
Yeah. Sasha's not good at a promo, and Roman should try to stop being, like, The Rock.
I don't know what's up with Sasha's delivery. She's just... I don't know. She's flubbed a lot. She's definitely not in the category of Charlotte. She's not even in the category of Alexa Bliss right now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, she just has not found her footing yet, promo-wise. I think she will eventually. But right now, it's been a little meh.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about that Hell in the Cell, then. Let's talk about that Hell in the Cell. It's the first ever women's Hell in the Cell. Rumored to be the main event. What do you think about this? We have the two other ones, which... Do we really need to say too much in that, really, Joel?
No, not really. Seth will lose.
I mean, Seth will lose, and Roman and Rusev is overdone. Neither one of them really seem like they need the Hell in the Cell. I think the woman is so special because this is the conclusion of one of the best feuds in the company in the past 2-3 years.
Yeah. I think Sasha will obviously retain. It's cool that they're in Hell in a Cell. I don't expect them to do anything like Mick Foley versus The Taker, but then again, God only knows. They've done some pretty crazy spots.
They're going to do something crazy.
They're climbing up to the top.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I don't think Sasha would want it any other way.
No. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited to see it. It's good on them.
And that should be the main event.
Yeah. Oh, yes, 100%.
Which would be really cool because that'll be the first ever women's match that was a main event on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, and it will. It's big. It's a big thing for them to do, and it just shows the changing of the guard. Like, I was recently watching a No Mercy that featured the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian, and they were competing for the Terry Runnels. And they had Jerry interviewing her, and they had her up in the ladder, and of course they had kind of some almost upskirt shot. She was very, very revealing how she was dressed, and it was very kind of subjective that she was an object that these guys were competing to win. And now we fast forward to where these women are real-life athletes that matter and are important and are going to compete in a serious match to blow off their feud.
Mm-hmm. It's really awesome. I'm super excited for it. Again, the Rusev and Roman one, we don't have enough time because we're going a little long on some of our main stories, but I just have no need for that to be in a Hell in a Cell. I think 3 is really overdoing it. I really think you could have just had... I think it would have been so much more special if just the woman had the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's the one that dictates it because you can keep Dana Brooke out as well.
Yeah. Like,
there's reasons for that. I know in the KO one you can keep Jericho out, so that makes some sense for that. But it seems just more convenient they're doing that because you are at the pay-per-view called Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, they need to go back to just naming
it. It reminded me the one time they had the Legacy versus DX. You know, like, well, we have this pay-per-view, so let's put Legacy and DX in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. It was all very nicely fit together.
Yeah.
James Ellsworth needs to know how to take a Styles Clash.
Holy shit, man almost died.
Yeah. A very good AJ adjusted mid-air.
That was really scary. I will say, the one thing is, that man knows how to sell.
Yeah. Like, what have you thought of this Ellsworth feud and him being brought in? Like,
I think he's his 15 minutes are about up. I know the internet loves it, but the internet, you know, runs with things a little too long. Like Hombre, for example. I think it's a Western Hockey League team that has Hombre jerseys coming out. It's kind of like the Ken Bone stuff this week. It just goes on, and wrestling fans kind of have that with James Ellsworth. Just two hands. But to me, it's kind of jumped the shark. After this week, I didn't want to see James Ellsworth on my television again.
Yeah.
As far as limited performers I see in SmackDown, I'd rather see the Spirit Squad because I think, especially Ken Doan, he's only 30 years old, Joel. He's super young and still has a lot of great talent and a lot of potential. Bad gimmick right now, but Ken Doan could be a mid-carder type of level of talent for the company. And wasting James Ellsworth when there's other positions to have, there's guys in the company that can do way better. Like, honestly, I don't like him, but I'd rather see the Drifter come up and at least have this position. Or I mean, where's Kalisto? You give me 10 minutes of Kalisto versus AJ Styles on TV for free, I'm watching.
Oh yeah.
But you needed to do the gimmick spot and Dean Ambrose to do his whole thing. It's I've seen it compared to a lot of Jerry Lawler Memphis type of booking that match.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll be glad when AJ moves on to something serious, like moves on to the more important stuff.
To the Dean feud, unfortunately, which you and I aren't thrilled that it looks like he's still in the feud with Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose, you're on the list.
Yeah, it just...
Because I'm just kind of sick of his stuff. It just, there's nothing as a fan that he draws me to want to see him do, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't bring anything to the product as for me as a fan.
No, he doesn't. And it, like, there are moments of flashes of brilliance, and there's moments of...
Mm-hmm. Not broken brilliance, though.
No, never broken brilliance, but AJ is fantastic. Like, there's many words to describe AJ Styles.
Phenomenal?
I don't want to go with the obvious, but yeah. I mean, you know, AJ stands out. The Miz and Ziggler and their stuff stands out. There's a lot of positive stuff.
Who would have thought at the beginning of the year, when you talked about talents that you really like, Joel, if I would have told you in this crazy year that we've had for pro wrestling, if I'd have been like, hey, Joel, October 13th, 2016, near the end of the year, we're going to be talking about talents in the company you respect, and you're going to respect The Miz more than Dean Ambrose. If I would have told you even after that Roadblock pay-per-view or before the Roadblock pay-per-view, when Ambrose, I think, was at the height of his powers this year, you would have thought you were crazy, that I was crazy for telling you that. Or you would have thought that maybe you went crazy.
Yeah. It's an interesting world what we live in right now, and yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head. Like, I care more about The Miz than Dean Ambrose. I care more about Ziggler than Dean Ambrose. Good on The Miz getting the win. Very happy for him.
I loved, by the way, like, one of the segments I really liked, and I know we're going to get to our MVP stuff at the end, our new segment, but Marie's coming out with the funeral garb in the black suit to pay respect to the title. Really, really liked that quite a bit. That was hilarious.
Well, let's jump into quickly, because I don't want to go too long. No Mercy, what'd you think of it? Good, bad card? What was the match of the night? And
thumbs in the middle card. Dean, Dolph and Miz was fantastic. I personally liked the match last. Which one did you like more? Did you like Backlash or did you like No Mercy more?
I think I like Backlash. No, I like No Mercy more.
I think No Mercy's better, but Backlash caught me so off guard is why I like that one more. But both were great. Like, I think that's the thing with Miz right now, too, is his work rate has just jumped.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the triple threat was really good. It's unfortunate the booking they had to do with that because they were going head-to-head with the playoff baseball. In Canada, they're going with Canadian Thanksgiving. And more importantly, the debate, once again, for them. So playoff baseball and the debate and Sunday Night Football. So they knew they had to do something, and they jumped the main event to the front, which I still wouldn't have done. They did do it, but then they picked the wrong thing to be the main event.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because Bray Wyatt is getting near Xbox heat.
It's just not fun to... It just seemed like a very... Like, Ziggler should have closed the show out.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been fantastic, but they didn't, so... It is what it is, but I thought Ziggler and Miz stood out. That was the match of the night, and that program continues to be must-see TV, like the Miz used to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Raw, SmackDown, we're heading to Hell in a Cell.
By the way, one thing with there, too, is I have to say, because I want to put this on wax, I wasn't a big fan of Alexa Bliss losing to Naomi. I now understand it because with Becky being out, we don't know what Becky Lynch is out, which is something we have to talk about really quick. I don't know what Becky Lynch is out. There's been a few sources, but we're not going to go with those with the rumors because they're pretty out there. So let's just say Becky Lynch is out. But I get why Bliss had to lose, and I just think it's going to lead to her getting her win back and then coming out strong as before she faces Becky on November 8th when they go head-to-head with the American election.
Woo! That's not great.
Some people have like brought up that maybe they should just push the show back to Thursday just for that one night.
They won't.
They won't, but do you think they should?
No, no. Stuff like this is going to happen. There's zero reason to just be like, oh, well, we'll change it because of this.
Also, you know, I think the thing is, too, like, you got to remember, well, America is a lot of your home base and a lot of your source of income. They're going to be such a global product that not everyone's going to be, although this election, not to get too political, a lot of people are going to be fixated on the results of that election.
Oh, yes, 100%. You know what? Becky out. Don't want to talk about what's floating out there online. It is what it is right now. Like, and I even said this, that they got to kind of stretch this out a bit. Bliss will get her heat back, and then she'll be white hot heading into her match against Becky, which, you know, it's going to happen. I'm personally going to be flipping back and forth between that and the election, but you know, it'll be interesting to see. It's in her home, and it's on tape delay, so at the end of the day, they're already behind the eight ball. Might as well just kind of keep going and just building towards Survivor Series.
Exactly.
We've got some rumors. Like, there's two rumors out there that are worth noting on. Bret Hart.
I covered the Bret Hart stuff, so you can cross that off.
Yeah. Bret apologized, which was good on him. I think that.
Yeah, we talked about that already. Yeah.
And the Undertaker's walking around on crutches, Josh, and it sounds like he needs that to get around these days. It's tough to see someone like that you watched as a little kid that was a scary force walking around on crutches.
And the thing is, you know that he's probably Vince is gonna be like, come to WrestleMania, bud.
That Cena Taker match is gonna happen, but it's crazy, and it's like you it kind of sits in your head that, man, the sacrifices these guys have made.
Yeah,
and you're just kind of like, a little sad, but don't want to end too sad. Let's get to something positive. Who is your MVP of this week?
Who is my MVP this week? Let me just give. How about you go for a second? Let me think about it.
You know what? I'm going to just say it. It's Paul Heyman.
Okay.
He helped sell Brock and Goldberg, and he's Paul Heyman. It sure ain't going to be James Ellsworth because he didn't take the Styles Clash properly. So.
For me, for the second week in a row, it's The Miz.
Yeah.
Another phenomenal match for him, showing he can kill it in the ring. And the segment of the week for me was him and Maurice coming out in the all black.
It's not hard. Like, I don't want to have us both the same, but The Miz is definitely a standout this week.
Also, the thing I really liked about him, Joel, that he would have fallen into in the past is Dolph tried to do a lot of comedic bits, and Miz played the straight man perfectly, and it's serious. He was upset he lost his title. It wasn't Miz being a goof and this. Well, he was being silly with that. He was serious. He was upset he lost his title. He wanted that title back, and he was serious about it. And he made me look that he really cared about the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. How long have we been saying, like, oh, this feud will redo the Intercontinental title in this one, and now you really care about the IC title all of a sudden. Can't say the same about the U.S. title, how a year changes things, right?
Yeah.
But last year we cared so much about the U.S. title, and now we don't give two craps about it. But the IC title means Dolph put his career on the line, and Miz is super upset about it, and you really care about the IC title. So honorable mention to the IC title being an MVP this week, because it's starting to get some of that little bit of the prestige back, having two really good matches fought over it. It's what we do going forward now, as we're starting to build it back up, if it can sustain it.
Yep. Oh yeah, definitely. And it's time to, like, the one thing I like, you look at the tag team titles. This is the last point I'm going to make, and then we can run away. Mm-hmm. You look at the tag team titles with the New Day. They're prestigious. They've had a long run. But I don't feel like they are, like, we must see this tag team title match. Sometimes you don't have to play hot potato with the title, but if you bounce it around a little bit, and as long as the story's good, then that helps elevate things. And one of the things The Miz and Dolph did was tell a good story in the ring. And the tag team titles, well, they've had a long reign, and it's cool to see, and I love the New Day, but just hasn't been firing on all cylinders in-ring-wise. But when you've got the IC title on the flip side that has had some good matches and it has gained some steam, everyone talks about you have to have these long title reigns and you can't play hot potato. I've said it, you've said it, everyone said it. But now this way it's kind of like, oh, this is kind of nice because you care about this. And it really comes down to that story in-ring and that story outside of the ring.
It does. And as far as titles go, like, I can argue as far as the title program, I care about the title program the most. I would say the Universal title, as far as the title program goes, is probably second, because I'm starting to feel like Seth has done a really good job of also showing I want that title, and it's been a weird transition for Seth to be into that face. And the WWE title, it has nothing to do with AJ. Nothing. It just has to do with the opponent that he has right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But AJ is just killing it every single week. He probably would have got my MVP. It's just who he's set his dancing partner is stepping all over his foot.
Yeah.
But to me, yeah, we've done this 2 weeks now, and 2 weeks in a row, it's The Miz.
Yeah.
He's, again, I don't mean to use the puns for these, but he's awesome right now. He's just awesome, and... We were already talking as we wrap up here off air about, like, who our MVPs are this year. And, well, I think the top three right now are pretty set in stone. I think Miz has a real chance to finish this year off strong and get into the top three still.
Yep, definitely.
Maybe not top three. Maybe top five. Let's go with that.
He definitely has a chance to be within that top five.
So, anything else?
That's it for me. The list is complete.
The list is complete. So, join us next week when TNA... I don't know what they do next week. TNA becomes Donald Trump's new vice president.
Oh.
Mike Pence drops out and Dixie Carter becomes the new vice president.
Oh, I'm running. I'm running away. Hiding. Well, I live in Canada, so I'm safe.
And, it's just such a circus there. I hope the next week we can come and talk about something better, like, you know, something with Matt Hardy, for example.
Yeah, the Broken Brilliance.
So, until next time, cheers.
Please do not tuck your chin when you take the Styles Clash.
Enjoy the day, people.